you would, take your Bible.
Yes.
And open your Bible, please, to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to consider the topic of unchangeable. Our God, His Son, and His Word. Ironclad, unchangeable. So many things in life change. People change. Situations change. Surroundings change. Everything changes. We grow. We grow older. We turn gray, some of us. We lose hair, some of us, as we grow older. Some of us gain weight. All kinds of things happen. In fact, we just got passports, Sue and I, the post office. And we had our other passports, which were quite old. And the postal clerk said to Sue about my passport that I don't look like myself anymore. But I think I look just like I always look to myself anyway. But of course, we do change. And sometimes people change in appearance so drastically over the years that they're barely recognizable, right? Especially if you haven't seen them for a while. And so things change, don't they? They do. But not God, and not His Word, and not His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And these are the things that give us certainty in a world of uncertainty. These are the things that give us stability in a very unstable world. Life can be very challenging at times, and we can try to rely on things only to find that they're no longer reliable. They're no longer something that we can trust in. But God and His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, always, because they are unchangeable. And it's so good to have something that doesn't change. Something that you can always know that it will be the same as it was the last time. This is what we need in life, what all men need in life, to make their lives, like ours, joyful, happy, and productive. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, or who, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope," that's a living hope, "by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our hope, of course, when you're speaking of the hope, the living hope that God tells us of in His Word, we're talking about the return of Jesus Christ, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Those of us who will be alive and remain at His coming, His second coming, shall be changed. And we, as well as those who were raised from the dead, shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be with the Lord forever, from that point on forever. For we will be like Him. We will see Him as He is. We will have bodies fashioned like unto His incorruptible body, and we shall know even as we are known, for we shall be with our Lord and see Him face to face, as well as those who we love and have known and have fallen asleep, and those we've never met who've fallen asleep many, many years before we were even in existence. What a tremendous truth. That is a living hope. That is a pleasant future expectation, and it is alive, and it was made real by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Two, He's begotten us to an inheritance, incorruptible. Well, you know, the world itself is corrupting. But our inheritance is incorruptible. The value of the dollar is corrupting. It continues to inflate. Used to be that the dollar, that all of our currency in this country, was stable. And the founders, the founding fathers, wanted the currency to be stable. That was one of the things they demanded, to have a free market and a stable economy. And so they backed it with gold and silver. But that is not the case any longer. So you take your dollar, and so many people want dollars. Dollar is so very important, isn't it? Want to get paid and convert it to dollars. And yet they're not worth what they were. They're not worth what they were 10 years ago. They're not stable. Government continues to print new ones with no backing. And so whatever you have in the bank is worth less because it can purchase less or it can be exchanged for less. And it continues to remain unstable, as does everything in life with the exception of our God, His Son, and His Word. And of course, those promises to us and that gift of Holy Spirit which resides in us. But everything else is constantly in a flux, constantly changing. The dollar, the thing that people trade their lives for, is unstable. Maybe your Windows platform is unstable too, right? Everything in life is unstable, except for these things. And our inheritance is incorruptible. It will not change. It is undefiled, and it will not fade away because it is reserved in heaven for you, kept by the power of God. God keeps it. That's bigger than the Federal Reserve Bank, which isn't even federal. It's bigger than the dollar, even if it had a gold standard anymore, like it did, which it no longer does. The bank of God is not broke. It never will be. It's kept by the power of God, and everything in it that God has promised us will be there for us. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. It won't change. What God has done for you will not change. It is unchangeable. Look in Hebrews. A couple of books to your left. Hebrews 13. This is ironclad. Verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's absolutely incredible that our Savior will never change. You know, we live in a world that looks to evolve. The irony of all that is it seems to be devolving. But that's what they look at. That's what it means to be progressive, to progress, to move beyond where you already are. Well, you can't change or move beyond the truth of God's Word. It doesn't matter how many people say, oh, it's a relic, it's antiquated. It doesn't matter that they could say things like, well, how could Moses possibly or conceivably know what things would be like in 2015? Well, it doesn't matter because God told Moses what to write, what to do, what to say, how to behave. And God certainly knew what would be in 2015, but moreover, God does not change. His Word does not change. And until Jesus Christ returns, man's sin nature will not change. So Moses and what Moses had to say is not antiquated. It's not a relic. What Paul the Apostle wrote by revelation is not antiquated. It's not a relic. It's not something that needs to evolve or change our understanding of life. You could take a man and you could put him in a three-piece suit. You could take him to the greatest universities of higher learning. You could give him the best haircut, you know, that perfect one, perfect haircut. You could give him the greatest home, the greatest job, the greatest everything. But inside that man, he's still a man. And he still has that missing puzzle piece if he's not a Christian and if he's not an educated Christian. And by that, I mean one who knows the Word of God. That individual is no different in a three-piece suit, no different in one of NASA's space events, as they call it, space events, which they really aren't. They're just in orbit around Earth, not escaping the orbit of Earth. Sounds to me like you're still on Earth, in a sense. But you could put him in a capsule. You could put him in the space station. You could put him in the shuttle. It makes no difference. He's still the same as when God made, formed, and created Adam. Man has not changed. And since Adam's fall in the garden, man's nature has not changed. Man has a sin nature. And that will not change until Jesus Christ returns. And then that'll change. But as for everything else, it's in a constant flux. And to think that we're in a world that's evolving and now we're smarter and we're more educated and we're more civilized. If you haven't looked around the world today, you can see it's every bit as vicious and barbaric as it ever was. No, people have no problem letting blood, do they? And so it is to our Lord we look, who is unchanging. It is to our God we look, who is unchanging. It is to His Word that we look, and in His Word which we trust, because they are unchanging. Hebrews chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 10, latter part of the chapter. Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, the heavens and the earth. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. What a tremendous truth. If you stop and think about that for a moment, we know from the Scriptures that there will be, when all is said and done, a final heaven and earth, which will be the third heaven and earth. We are currently, as most theologians believe, many Bible scholars concur, on the second heaven and earth. And the third heaven and earth is on its way. It's going to change. And of course, nothing is more stable than the ground under your feet, right? Wrong. The Word is more stable than the ground under your feet. But people think of that as, you know, terra firma. It's stable, but it's going to change like a garment. It's going to wax old. Looking at some of my old sweatshirts and that, you're getting so thin you can look right through them, right? Because the material has worn away. And the clothes you wear do that, don't they? They wear. And then you fold them up, toss them out. Clothing doesn't last. And here he's making a comparison in terms of durability and longevity between clothing and the heavens and the earth, when compared to God Almighty, whose age never fails, who's timeless, for He is unchangeable. Look in Psalm 90. If you would go there, please. And that's a wonderful reality, to just think how that we have something that's so stable that we can trust in it, no matter what. Now, having said that, there are things in life that are really good, and we want to make sure we don't take them for granted, because nothing is forever. So those people you know and love, love them and know them while they're around. You got something nice to say about somebody, tell them now. Don't wait until they're dead. Don't wait until it's all over. You know, don't wait till Mother's Day or Father's Day, or don't wait until birthday, or don't wait until a holiday to tell somebody you love them. Do it now, while it's the time is right, while it's still available to do so. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, you children of men, for 1,000 years in Thy sight is but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. What a tremendous truth about our God. 1,000 years is but as yesterday when it's past. You know, yesterday is gone, isn't it? And we can't get yesterday back. So we want to learn how to live today without regrets, not to take things for granted, and to look not to those things that are unstable, to those things that are surely going to change, and think somehow that they're not going to change, when everything in life tells us that they are going to change. Anybody with a sensible mind will tell you that. But God and His Word is unchangeable, and yet you have those who want to change it. They want to cast it aside. They want to consider it a relic. It doesn't apply today because, after all, we live in an age of information, the digital age. We're able to do all sorts of things technically as well as medically, and we're just really smart. Or are we? Just look at the mess. The world is a hot mess. It really is. It is a tremendous mess. The only place on the planet that has any saving grace is the United States of America. And only because the founders believed in God and recognized that man has a nature that ain't about to change. And so they believed they could form one just government for all men for all time. And yet, people say that's antiquated. Do you think freedom is antiquated? Do you think that it's a relic to have the same rights as the fellow next to you? That you have a right because God gave it to you to be free from the rule and authority of anybody else? Or do you think that's an antiquated thought? Is that old school thinking? Well, if it is, I'm all for it. Look in Malachi chapter 3, last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, 3rd chapter, 6th verse. For I am the Lord, I change not. And then he adds to it, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. You see, if God had changed, if he wasn't a kind, loving, gracious, merciful God and Father, he would have just obliterated the sons of Jacob because they were just unbelieving, disobedient, oftentimes evil. If God were different today and tomorrow, they wouldn't have made out too well. You have people today that think the God of the Old Testament is not the same as the God of the New Testament. Well, they don't know what they're talking about. They fail to understand the scriptures. I am the Lord, I change not. That's what he said. That's what he means. God is unchangeable. Look in James. New Testament, James. Right after Hebrews, chapter 1. Hebrews 1, James chapter 1, right after Hebrews, sorry about that. And verse 17, about midway the chapter. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Doesn't change, it's always the same. Every good gift and every perfect gift. And that's something that's of importance too. People are always promising things to other people. Gifts and whatnot, benefits, going to do this for you, going to do that for you. Well, those things have variableness, don't they? If you've ever worked a job with benefits, you know that those things have variableness. If you've ever had to claim on some insurance policy for some reason, you know that there are conditions to be met, right? There's variableness, isn't there? Not with God. The things that are coming from him, they're free, they're gifts, no strings attached. They're good and they're perfect. And that never changes. Look in Psalm again, and this time in Psalm 103. Book of Psalms, 103rd Psalm. You might want to read the whole thing sometime this week. It's a great psalm, but we're just going to read the 17th verse. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, from everlasting to everlasting. Look in Matthew 24. Something our Lord Jesus Christ said in verse 35. This concurs with something we read previously in Hebrews, heaven and earth shall pass away. The one we're on is going to pass away. And not because the EPA won't get to do what it wants to do. And not because your vehicle uses fossil fuel. And not because the government is not able to put a cap on your use of greenhouse gases. And not because the polar caps are melting. And not because the weather is changing. We all know that weather is cyclical. There's no question about that. According to the scripture, everything is going to last until God sends his son back, and then things will begin to change when the day of the Lord takes place. But day and night, summer and winter, spring and fall, rain and snow, all those things, sun and moon, are going to last on the current heaven and earth, will continue until God sets a new one in place. And there is nothing that man can do collectively or individually to alter that in any way, shape, or form. It's going to do what it's going to do. And if you want to know the outcome of all these things, I suggest you read your Bible. Read, for example, Ezekiel and Daniel, Book of Revelation, other places that speak of all these future events and how things will transpire. Matthew also has records to that effect. As a matter of fact, Matthew 24 has records to that effect, giving you ideas of the things that are going to transpire and the order in which they will take place. And we can all see these things taking place to various degrees. One thing is for certain, man cannot do anything to change that. You're not going to get Arnold Schwarzenegger to come in and spoil the end of days. It's not going to happen, even if he does manage to get to the chopper. It's not going to happen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, and then a new heaven and earth shall be put in its place. But, Jesus said, my words shall not pass away. Imagine that. The word of God will outlast this current heaven and earth because the word of God is unchangeable. It is timeless. It is from everlasting to everlasting, even as its author, God Almighty, and even as his son, Jesus Christ, who, though he had a beginning, will not have an end. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And once we receive eternal life, we will be forever as well. What a tremendous truth. There's something to live your life by. Look in 1 Peter again, if you would. Chapter 1. This time we'll go to verse 23. Latter part of the chapter. Being born again, or born from above. You hear a lot of Christians use that phrase, I'm a born-again Christian, and they do so often ignorantly, not knowing what it's talking about, thinking that means you quit smoking or something, and that's proof of it. But we know that proof of having the new birth, or being born from above, as it should be rendered literally, the proof of that is the manifestation of the spirits. There are 9 manifestations of the Spirit, and that's the proof of having God's gift resident within you. Being born again, or born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. The seed that we received that made us human, which came from our earthly fathers and was planted in our earthly mothers, that biological seed that was planted to make you, you, like that little Lydia Grace seed. Right, Lydia? I used to tell Lydia that when she was little. Yep, she was, how old were you then? When, like, 3 years old when you asked me where did I plant the little Lydia Grace seed? She was very smart when she was little. I don't know what happened, but she asked me because I used to talk about the little Lydia Grace seed. And why are you shaking your head? My wife is shaking her head. And she asked me where I planted it, and I thought, oh man, here we go, birds and the bees. But that's not what she wanted to know. She wanted to know, was it in the yard, right, Lydia?
Where did you plant the tree?
Was it, where did I put the tree, in the backyard or wherever? That seed, that little Lydia Grace seed, and the seed that we've all come from, biologically speaking, is corruptible. That means it won't last forever. It's going to change. Our forefathers have perished. They've passed away. And we too shall pass away. We shall fall asleep should our Lord tarry. We'll perish. And when we do, our soul life, which is the direct product of that seed, will perish as well. And that's corruptible. We're not born again or born from above of a seed that will perish. That seed of God in Christ in you is incorruptible, will never perish. It too is unchangeable and will be the reason you have eternal life. Being born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth for how long? Forever. God's word lives and abides forever. First thing to notice, it's a living word. And secondly, it will abide forever. For all flesh is as grass. And you know how long that lasts. And all the glory of man, you know, man at his highest achievement, man has won all the Grammys and got all the accolades and got all the trophies and got all the pedigrees and got all the certificates and the big fat bank account and everything else. Like the flower of the grass withers away and the flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel, the good news, is preached unto you. And that is good news. That this word of God lives and abides forever. Tremendous, tremendous, tremendous reality. Psalm 52. Psalm 52. Psalm 52 and verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before the saints. What a tremendous reality. God said he would do it, therefore we should praise him for how long? Forever. Because we've been saved, because we've been redeemed, there should be praise on our lips throughout this earthly existence of ours, and then into and throughout all eternity. Were it not for God, we wouldn't have anything, much less eternal life. Isaiah 40, please. Beware, beware the thoughts of progressing. Beware progressivism, which seeks to move beyond founding truths found in God's word, God-given rights. Beware of that. Beware of those who refer to this word of God as a relic, as something antiquated that needs to change. Beware of all these things that try to equate what they call evolution with the reality of the principles of not only sound living, but biblical truths. Beware of that. There is no evolution. There's no evolution in genus, for sure. And there certainly isn't any evolution in sound principle. A lie will always be a lie, ladies and gentlemen. At no point do we go beyond it, move beyond it. God will always be God. At no point will there be another. There's only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There shall never be another. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. There are no more. Beware of those who consider these things to be antiquated, old-fashioned. Isaiah 40. And we'll go to that 28th verse, if you would. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And of course, the word faint means to lose heart, become discouraged. Quit. We don't quit, because our God is unchangeable. We'll wait on him however long it takes. We'll wait on our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He shall return, and we will wait for that return for as long as it takes. We trust in this word of God. We will walk out on it. We will believe it. We're required to act upon it. And we will wait for the results, however long they may take. For the word of God is unchangeable. It endures forever, unlike everything else around us. Our Lord and Savior is unchangeable. He shall endure forever. He shall die no more, having died once. And our God is the Ancient of Days. Look in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. Daniel 7, and verse 9. Give you a minute to get there. Might not be a book you read that often. A lot of prophecy in there, and oftentimes prophecies that are unfulfilled are kind of challenging to understand. Then after they come to fulfillment, then they're much more easy to understand. But if you ask God for the understanding, he surely will help you. Daniel 7, beginning in verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down. This is revelation that Daniel was given of future events, vision. And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. The Ancient of Days, a literal rendering of that would be the Everlasting One. Our God is the Everlasting One. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God has always been. God has no beginning. God has no end. God is the Ancient of Days. And throughout eternity, God will never change. Never, never. He is the unchangeable one. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, and I beheld even till the beast was slain. The horn, by the way, I believe here is speaking of the Antichrist, the beast, and the beast and the Antichrist, him and his false prophet or his religious leader, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame, lake of fire. As concerning the rest of the beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Obviously, that's speaking of Jesus Christ's return. Many other times in the Bible, it speaks of how he will return in the clouds of heaven. And here you have Daniel, who lived long before the birth of Jesus Christ, given a little bit of an insight into that. Isn't that marvelous? What a tremendous truth. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, in his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Jesus Christ shall return as King of Kings and Lord of lords, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And we shall get to reign with him as kings and priests for 1,000 years. What marvelous truths God's word holds for us. What stability. What an anchor for our soul to know that there is something in this life, brief as this life may be, something that's unchangeable. Something that, unlike everything else, will always be the same when we go to it. Our God will never disappoint, for our God will never change. Nor will our Lord, his Son. Nor will his word when we go to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would go there, people speak of modern times. People speak of the Bible and God as antiquated concepts, the product of men's minds. Only men of great hubris would even think to say that. Great hubris generally accompanied by fathomless stupidity. Sometimes people are so smart that they're stupid. Or they think they're so smart, they're stupid. And the smarter they get, the stupider they are. And the dumber they sound when they speak. Old-fashioned? Well, okay. I guess the old-fashioned of the old-fashioned of the criteria for old-fashioned would have to be the Ancient of Days, since he's before all, before everything, since he's the everlasting one. So they can call God old-fashioned, if they dare. But as for me, I'll take old-fashioned. As for me, I'll take old-school. As for me, I'll take unchangeable. I'll take principle over nonsense any day of the week. And this Word of God is rife with principle. Principle that's unchanging. Things that you as a man, a woman, can apply in life and never have a disappointment. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith as the apostles, that's what it's talking about. According as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things or for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, I may not look like me anymore, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. My inward man is as vital as it ever was, perhaps more so. For every day it is renewed as I speak in tongues, as I walk forth on this word of God, as I pour out my heart in prayer to our wonderful Father. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And as such, they are unchangeable.